We're doing the Sfat Tamim. We're up to page Zayin in this edition. And the Chafetz Chaim had discussed that deceit and lies are habits which can sometimes be overlooked to the point where a person feels like it's perfectly normal to lie. Especially in business, sometimes a person feels like there's no way to succeed if you're going to be honest. And on the contrary, he quoted us from the Medrash that Hashem made this partnership between deceit and lying and detraction and losses, where damages come to a person through lies. Hashem made a system in the world where lies at the onset seem to cause success, but in the long run, they cause destruction. And if you see, we see a person who is being unfair in his business practices, and yet he seems to be successful. His wealth seems to stand by him. So then you should realize that the wealth is there to harm him. As the verse says, sometimes God pays off those who he hates to destroy them. And in such a scenario, then we have to say, okay, so then in the world to come, God's going to catch up with him. So to speak, I mean, his sin's going to catch up with him. Yigos b'chatzat shinav, then he'll find himself chewing rocks. V'zaro yiyem v'kesh lechem, and ultimately his own children will be destitute. Ki bitarev mamon shel isur b'mamono, b'ze v'ibed etze. He says the system continues. When one has money that's dishonest money, prohibited money, so in the long run that will destroy his wealth, as we said before. Uchma'amal bat nakdimon ben guyon demayte b'ktubot. Scary story in the Gemara in Ksubos.
Do we have Ksubos here?
Yeah. Okay. Now this story really appears in Avos de Rabbi Nosson. It's in the Medrash, but we'll quote it from the Gemara he's quoting it from. It appears in more than one place. So, Gemara says the following story. Tanu Rabanan. We have the following Tanaic quote. A story with Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai. He was the prince, he was the Nasi during the period of the destruction. He was the one who went out and greeted Vespasian. He was riding on a donkey and exiting Jerusalem. And his students were walking behind him. And he saw a young girl collecting barley among the dung of the animals of the Arabs. And when she saw him, so she sees the prince of Israel, and there she is collecting barley, which is usually animal food, from the dung of the Arab animals. So she wrapped herself and came before him and said, Rebbe, support me. And he said to her, whose daughter are you? And she said, I am the daughter of Nakdimon ben Gurion. You guys remember Nakdimon ben Gurion? Nakdimon ben Gurion was the famous rabbi who was one of the three wealthy people whose wealth could sustain all of Jerusalem for 7 years. Nakdimon ben Gurion was the wealthy rabbi who went and bought water for all the Jews who would ascend to the temple. And then he agreed with the Roman he'd pay him by a certain day. And when that day came, the Roman said, you didn't pay, now give me the value in gold of all the water that you took. And the agreement was either he returns the pits filled with water, or he returns a certain amount of gold. So he said, now give me my wages in gold. So Nakdimon ben Gurion said, the day isn't over yet. So the Roman said, yeah, but all year it hasn't rained. What are you waiting for? He said, the day is not over yet. Came noontime, he sends the messenger, give me my gold. Nakdimon ben Gurion says, the day is not over yet. This guy decided he's going to make so much money tonight. He sent word to all his friends, made a party. And he went out to the bathhouse to get ready for his party. He's going to the bathhouse. Nakdimon ben Gurion goes up to the temple. And their paths cross. And Nakdimon ben Gurion goes up to the temple and starts praying. And says, Ribbono Shalom, you know, I didn't do this for my honor. I didn't do it for my father's honor. I did it for your honor. That the people of Israel are sending Aliyah LeRegel. They're supposed to come 3 times a year. They should have water to drink. Help me out. He finished his prayer, he walks out of the temple, and the wind's blowing, and clouds fill the sky, and a rain comes pouring down. He's coming out of the temple as it's pouring, and all the pits get filled, and the Roman comes out of the bathhouse. So the Roman looks at him, and he looks at the Roman, and the Roman says, "I know God only brought this rain for you, but I still have a claim, because the sun ain't shining anymore, and all that water fell in the wells that were mine. You still owe me all that gold, unless you can prove otherwise. I say it's nighttime already." Nakdimon Ben Gurion did an about face and walked back into the temple and said, "Ribono Shel Olam." And as you can imagine, his prayers were answered, and the wind came, blew away all the clouds, and the sun was shown shining again. And that's why it was called Nakdimon, that the sun was Noked, the sun was positioned for him. When he needed, the sun was covered and rain. When he needed, the sun was revealed. And this is his daughter, so he was so wealthy, he could sustain all of Jerusalem, and now his daughter is collecting barley from between the dung of the Arabs. And she comes from Yochanan ben Zakkai and says, "Rebbe, support me." He looks at her and says, "My girl, where's all your father's money? Where did it all go?" She said, "Rebbe, isn't the mashal, the proverb that people say here in Jerusalem, that the way to salt your money is by reducing it? You want to keep money just like you salt meat, so the meat becomes a little smaller, but it can last for a long time. Same is true with money. You want your money to last, so spend some of it. Help the poor, help other people. So my father didn't salt his money enough." So Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai asked her, "And where's your father-in-law's money?" She said, "Well, my father's money met with my father-in-law's money and destroyed them both." So she said to him, "Rebbe, you remember when you signed in my marriage?" He turned to the students and said, "I remember. I signed on her ksuba when she got married in the marriage contract, and there was 1,000,000 gold coins that she received from her father's house as dowry, aside from what her father-in-law gave them." So she got 1,000,000 gold coins. Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai wept and said, "Praised are you, Israel, when you do the will of the Omnipresent, no nation can take control of you. And when you don't do the will of the Omnipresent, so then God gives us in the hands of this lowly nation, not even the nation, but the animals of the nation." So the Gemara then asks, "Wait a second, Nakdimon ben Gurion didn't do charity?" It says that when Nakdimon ben Gurion would walk from his house to the temple, they'd spread silk, like a royal carpet, from his house to the temple. And when he'd enter the temple, all the poor would be able to collect the silk and make money off of it. So the Gemara says, yeah, but he, on his level, should have done more charity than he did. A person isn't gauged on a global scale. So a guy who has billions can say, "But I gave $1,000 to charity." No. Based on his wealth, based on his greatness, he should have given more. And that's what people say, Lefum gamla shichna. As strong as a camel is, that's how much weight you put on it. You have to always gauge how much an animal can carry. By the same token, he could have carried more poor on his shoulders. He should have done more charity, and that was held against him. So that's the story, the phenomenal story of the daughter of Nakdimon ben Gurion that Chafetz Chaim says here. He says, believe me, even if in the person's own lifetime he won't find the punishment, but in the long run, then his children will discover that because he didn't do enough charity, the money doesn't last. So that's he's quoting it. Really, that's what he wants to show from the Gemara, that Nakdimon ben Gurion's daughter said, "I know we lost it all because of that." V'chimat baruch shasheker shem shakim u'shelo letzorech. And now the Chafetz Chaim takes on another point, which is where we'll pick up next time. I just want to introduce it because it's something you could mull over. It's almost clear, says the Chafetz Chaim, that lies are unnecessary. very often a lie is the easy way out. And very often the lie is completely unnecessary. If we only get into the habit of telling the truth, we can find ways of accomplishing the same thing with the truth. And this is something which I marvel at. Many times there are situations where you can't tell people the exact truth. There are situations where if you tell a spouse what their spouse did, you're going to cause a tremendous explosion. You have to deal with something. And as a rabbi, so very often you get a question which you have to talk to the business partner or the spouse, and you can't address the whole story, because if you do, you're going to cause an explosion. So you have to use your brains to figure out what you're going to say, how you're going to say it. We had a question last week where a business partner sent his partner to ask the question in the morning, and he came and asked the question at night. The question pertained a tremendous loss to the company. And when the partner came and asked, it was Friday night. They couldn't do anything about it anymore. Meaning that the partner asked, go Friday morning and ask the Shiloh what we can do. And there was a solution they could have applied Friday morning. By the time the business would reopen on Monday, well, by the time the markets reopened, they lost a fortune. And there was nothing they can do. The markets were closed. By the time he came, he knocked on the door at like 11 o'clock at night, Friday night. He comes and he says, you know, we were wondering something like, why'd the question come up now? So he says, yeah, my partner asked me to find the solution this morning. I didn't think it was so important. But by Sunday, he realized that they had a huge loss. Now, what do you do? Sometimes you need more details from the partner. So one of the things I've seen, for many years, I've been going to different courts and apprenticing, and sitting and seeing how older rabbis, more experienced rabbis, how they answer questions, how careful they are to, you know, sometimes the easiest thing to do is apply what Chazal say, for the sake of peace, so you can bend the truth. And if you listen closely, you see that they're very careful not to apply that, to find other ways, but not to let themselves say a lie. They find a million ways to avoid the question, not to address a certain point, but where I would think right away, you know, what's the big deal? So you'll say it this way. So you'll find an easy way around it. No, they find a way that they don't have to lie. And that's an idea that Chafetz Chaim says, if you think about it closely, you'll find that many times the lie is really unnecessary. It's just the easy way to try to accomplish what you want in business. But in truth, the lie is unnecessary. And we'll pick up with this point, Be'ezat Hashem, next time.